atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is hour two of two. This is the broadcast for September the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2019. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Mr. Tom DeWeese, well-known man to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. He's with AmericanPolicy.org, one of the greatest educators on Agenda 21, or now Agenda 2030. I don't know what they're calling it now, climate change, who knows, but they're displacing Americans. They're turning it into a fiasco, to say the least. We'll talk about it on your radio. Tom, welcome back, sir.
Good to be with you, Sam. Thank you.
All right. There's so much to talk about here. Ben Carson talked about his plans to deal with the homeless in California. Victor Garcia, Fox News, had the exchange. And Ben Carson said we got to actually get the people out of there, put them in a clean place. That's number one. Then number two, the second step is we got to find a more permanent solution for them. I agree with Ben on one hand, and I really have a lot of respect for Ben Carson. But on the other hand, I don't think it's a constitutionally federal government responsibility at all. In fact, there's no mandate whatsoever. There is no delegation of authority. So it's not a federal government responsibility. We teach to the ideal, so that's the constitutional reality, but we live in the real. And I don't have any problem with government doing their very best to decrease regulations, to create level playing fields, to find solutions by getting out of the way, there's a lot the federal government can do. And right now they're involved in every aspect of our lives, and they got to back off most of these unconstitutional government agencies. So there's a great role that Ben Carson can play. The reason that I bring this up is because, you know, it reminds me of, you know, the joke about Noah's Ark. If Noah tried to build the Ark today, he'd never get done. He'd be stuck with the EPA and he'd be stuck with the IRS. And I mean, the guy would just melt down before he ever even got started. I mean, he'd just look up to God and say, holy moly, can you clear the decks for me or something? And so I bring that up to say that there is a lot of land west of the Mississippi. And you know what? You could have the federal government give people land. Just give me 320 acres and the ability to get water. And I could go out and build a very simple homeless city where I would say, listen, we've got these simple wood frame cabins that people can live in. We have got the ability to employ people. Some employers have been willing to partner here. We're not going to pay somebody a full wage because, you know what, it's too expensive and they don't have the skills necessary. But we've got to give them a place to live. So let's say that it costs $500 for them to have a place to live, food. So they got basically a shelter, clothing, fuel. So they got a little bit of heat and a little bit of cooling. So you got food, shelter, clothing. Okay, these four things, food, shelter, clothing, and fuel, to deal with the basic necessities. You might do that for $400 or $500 a person a month. And then you might have them work for you and do some menial tasks. Even though they don't have the skills, they might be able to do some things. The problem is minimum wage won't let me get that done. When you add minimum wage to the employer side of workman's comp and all this other stuff, it is incredibly expensive, but it's all regulatory in nature. You add that to the fact that I can't get any land. The land's expensive as all get out. And a lot of people like me who might provide solutions for these things can't get it done. Tom, I bring this up because I'd love to partner with Ben for solutions. What do you think of my ideas?
Yeah. You know, as you said, there is huge. There are so many things going on here, so many things that you've brought up now to address. And, you know, I like Ben Carson. I think he's a good guy. He has said many things that are absolutely right. But I have a real problem with the fact that, first of all, as Secretary at HUD, he has kept 90% of the Obama holdovers, including his chief of staff, and he is under siege there trying to get anything done. We've been trying to roll back some of these programs. His heart's in the right place. He said the right things, but it doesn't happen because, you know, he's surrounded. He's allowed himself to be surrounded by these people.
So let me ask you a question on that. Do you think he's really allowed himself to be surrounded by this, or do you think that somebody above him has forced that on him? I don't know.
I mean, the first thing is your chief of staff is supposed to be your person who is setting your agenda. And why you would keep an Obama holdover for that job is, you know.
The only way I could think is if you are forced to do so by somebody above you.
Yeah. I guess so. Either that or just too easygoing. I don't know what the
problem
is. Agreed.
Fair point.
I know I've tried to have meetings with them, and they've been canceled because of this chief of staff. So, you know, I have a bone to pick with that. But, you know, what you're saying, you know, you have to get to the root of why do we have homeless? Why do we have poverty, these poor people? And you've hit on so many of the things. All these different policies, the minimum wage and so forth is cutting out jobs. The rules and regulations from several different federal agencies are cutting out the ability for people to start small businesses. And, you know, it's all these big corporate things that come in and cut wherever they are. But one of the big things coming out of HUD, these different programs to damage you know, a private property ownership and so forth. For example, in Oregon, where they've put together smart growth programs, and now the state of Oregon says they have a housing crisis. Well, they put a line around the city and they say no growth around, you know, outside of that line, these urban growth boundaries. And Portland, Oregon, which is the poster child for all of this, in the last 20 years since they've been doing this, the population has grown by 80%, and yet the area has not. Now they've had to ban zoning for single-family homes because they have a housing crisis. They have a housing crisis because they have bad government policy, and so there's no room to have any more housing. This is the root of why there are so many homeless people.
Now, let's be clear, just so people understand it on the ground, there is plenty of physical room. There's no room because of the policies and the mandates handed down from some lofty bureaucrat somewhere with an agenda to push. There's plenty of room, sir.
Yeah, because they have pushed the earth or the urban growth boundaries out by about 6% in this period of time to try to accommodate. But, you know, the population has grown by 80%. And what they're saying is, you have a home with a backyard and stuff. Well, we could put 100 families in there. So we're going to, you know, we're going to get rid of these single family homes. That's a racist thing they've been saying. And so there's one of the real roots of why we have the poverty.
Hey, by the way, let me stop you for a second and just ask you a question, Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org. Would you like every family to be able to have a home?
Absolutely.
Even the black
every
ones?
Family to have a home.
Hold on. Even the black ones?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Me too.
Yeah.
I bring that up because they're making it sound like that this is a racist agenda, and I don't believe so. You would say, well, hey, many of these things are out of the reach of black families. Then let's work on education. Let's work on lowering the bar and leveling the playing field and doing things that can make a difference. Let's not just run around and throw blame out there, right?
Yeah, they have made up this thing. They're saying that people who live in single-family home neighborhoods with zoning to protect them are self-segregating themselves from people they don't want to live with. That is not true. It is, these are, you know, first of all, we have laws that say you can't do that in the first place. And, you know, people who have worked their whole lives to invest and own private property, which is really the only way to eradicate poverty, is private property ownership, because it's the only way for an individual to build personal wealth on their own.
Let's be clear. Private property ownership, a level playing field, and the honoring of contracts. That is the way for prosperity to happen and for anybody to be able to lift themselves out of poverty. Anyone.
Absolutely. And it's the only way. And yet all these rules and regulations that are supposed to be helping the poor, all we've gotten after all this is it's what I call the compassion cartel. These are, you know, the people who, you know, whether they're private charitable organizations or government programs, we've put billions and billions and billions of dollars into helping the poor. All of it is based on redistribution of wealth. I'm going to take from you to give to them. Tomorrow they need some more. I'm going to take some more from you. Pretty soon you find yourself in need of the, you know, the handout. The compassion cartel, all we've gotten from this is more poor. It doesn't work.
Or sometimes I might Atlas shrug and simply leave and go somewhere else. In New York, people are leaving to Florida and Texas left and right for this very reason. Some people are leaving the country and becoming an expat for these reasons as well. So sometimes they'll just Atlas shrug, huh?
Absolutely. And let me add one more thing to this. The HUD has come up with a program called Envision Centers. And this is a typical government boondoggle, supposedly to help the poor. The four pillars, to provide communities with a centralized hub for support to help the poverty problem. Economic empowerment is one. Educational advancement is another. Health and wellness is a third. And character and leadership. Well, those are very nice headlines. Those are very nice heads of the things. What do they mean? Well, the economic empowerment pillar is designed to improve, this is their words, designed to improve the economic stability of individuals residing in HUD-assisted housing by empowering them with opportunities. What does that mean? Empowering them with opportunities. A free market system will do that. You have a housing shortage. If you have a market for more housing, the free market system will provide them without a single government dollar put in there. The jobs. If you have the ability to expand your businesses and you've got a market for that, you get jobs and everything. You don't need government programs to put all this in place. You need freedom.
Wow. You got to dig it. Do you know what HUD Envision Centers are? You better learn, folks. It's a failed attempt. Ben Carson, I appreciate your ideas, my friend. But you got to surround yourself with friendlies. For starters, Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org, in seconds on your radio.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Sam Bushman and Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org, breaking it down. Sign up for the free Sledgehammer Alert to keep up on what's going on in the environment, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know what an Envision Center is? HUD.gov to learn more. It's disaster. Nothing accomplished that's of value. All right, the bottom line is Tom DeWeese is right. Ben Carson's a great guy, but he's being surrounded by enemies. First, you got to surround yourself with the good guys, Ben, and you got to spend time working with guys like us that want real solutions and understand the supreme law of our land and understand the proper role of Christians helping Christians and neighbors helping neighbors and, those things. Let's talk about this Swedish 16-year-old girl. Her name is Greta Thunberg, and she got the chance to speak to the United Nations, Tom, and she literally shouted at world leaders in the audience And she basically trashed them, saying, you know what, you adults are irresponsible. You're talking about money and the economy. How dare you? The whole economic systems and the whole environmental systems and ecosystems are melting down. People are dying. People are suffering. And how dare you? And then Bernie Sanders and Cruz said we ought to let little girls like that lead the parade for this climate change initiative. It is propaganda like you could not believe, sir.
This is child abuse at its height of what they have done to this little girl. She's a victim, and you know she's been this is happening in our public schools all over the country, all over the world. Obviously, pouring this propaganda into their brains, scaring them to death. We got 12 years to live. AOC has led this way, and you know they're victims. They have been led to believe this, and not only that, she has been picked out. It's a theatrical thing, and I was just reading earlier that she has a coach who is one of these climate change experts that everywhere she goes, this coach shows up, and so they're teaching her to do this. You don't just, as 16 years old, you don't just appear and all of a sudden be standing in front of the United Nations and have a worldwide strike going on.
Well, first off, where do you even get the money to cross the sea? Secondly, where do you get the visa and the you know passport and the documents that you need? And third, are your parents even going to let you go? And I mean, this just smacks of absolute manipulation of the population like you cannot imagine to make this happen. They make it sound like it's spontaneous, and this girl's just going to lead the charge here. I mean, it's absolutely, if you want to talk about fake news, wow.
Let me add one more thing to this. You know who is leading the youth climate strike in the United States? It is Ilhan Omar's 16-year-old daughter is the head of it here in this country. And she says, she claims she stepped in to lead the environmental movement despite not knowing much about the cause in order to steer it away from love of nature and toward social justice goals.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is beyond imagination. Now, I want you to think about this for a second and say, man, this Swedish girl is being abused. And the children are being abused all across the world over this, literally told to leave school and promote social justice at the expense of their educations. This is endorsed by government schools across the United States and more. Now, listen to this. Dennis Prager wrote an article that highlights this reality that you speak of, Tom. It says this: if you can't sell your hysteria to adults, try the kids. This is but one more way in which the left abuses children. Dennis Prager. And he talks about this in detail to make your point.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's exactly right. It's like having an army attacking and putting a bunch of children in front of it so the other side won't shoot back. And of course, if you make any comments, I've been watching this, you know, in the news and on Facebook and so forth. If anybody makes any derogatory comments about little Greta, then well, that's just horrible that you take on a child like that. Well, that works just perfectly for them, doesn't it? Now we're not allowed to even criticize the total stupidity of their position. And I mean, what she's advocating here through them is the total destruction of our society. And let's go back. Where do we hear that before? Oh, yeah. When Agenda 21 was introduced in 1992, they said it was a comprehensive blueprint for the reorganization of human society. Now here we are in 2019, and what are we talking about in absolutely hysterical terms, the reorganization of human society?
And a 16-year-old girl says, I don't even know what it's about, but I know this. The love of nature's got to go, and social justice or social change has got to be at the center of it all. That 1992 reality check smacks hard through a 16-year-old who's been propagandized, and now they're making children the head of the movement. Well, the faux head of the movement, let's be clear, because they're not about to really give up power and agenda and control. They're just going to let the children be the targets or the whatever you want to call it. They're going to hide behind the children as they push this dishonest, immoral narrative.
And just think, as they get older And all these children have been indoctrinated with this, and the fear and the terror. And I mean, we can go into a whole lot of other issues that they've been indoctrinated with. And we're creating a generation of total psychotics that will have no clue about anything, about how anything works, how to interact with other people, how to make decisions for yourself, and so forth. Everything is just a zombie nation, moving forward, and that's exactly what they're trying to move towards. And when we said this stuff years ago, it's like, oh, come on, we're the nutcases here. But take a look, where does it lead? If you watch, what they say, look in their eyes, and try to find some kind of intellectual movement there. It's not there. They are just zombies putting out this hate. Did you see the demonstration they had in D.C.? And another young girl up there absolutely screaming at the audience. And this is what it's been reduced to.
Well, and you got to ask, where does this lead? That was the question that you asked. But you got to take that further and say, these people are refusing to have children because they say we can't bring poor innocents into this debauched, horrible, environmental meltdown world. And so no children would be born. So the end of societies and populations, if they have their way. Secondly, then, what would they propose? Now, they want you and I to get rid of our electricity or get rid of our air conditioning or not drive our car. But most of these leaders that perpetuate this, Al Gore being the chief among them, they literally live rock star lives. And I mean, the CO2 that Al Gore puts out is probably more than me and you and our 20 friends' families all put together.
Yeah, they live in absolute luxury. They have multiple homes, massive mansions. And I question, have any of them opened the door? They can't live in all six mansions at the same time. So how about when they're other ones, giving the other ones to the homeless so that they have a place to live? There would be an idea standing up for their principles, but oh, come on, no, we that isn't for us. And the hypocrisy, the lies, has gotten beyond the ability to comprehend at this point. But they just keep marching forward.
All right, there's a science teacher, and he quit his job as a science teacher because climate change endangers students. He says the pupils have left his classes discouraged. The College Fix has the piece, so you know where it comes from. And he taught New England public and private schools. He left the profession because his students are in danger from climate change. His name is Eden, D-E-I-N, Eden Dine or Dean? Anyway, this Eden Dean professor guy, he's now the New England field coordinator for the nonprofit group called Our Climate. That's a youth-led group that trains young people to speak to legislative bodies and the population about science-based, equitable climate policy. Now, here's what's interesting. He's the New England field coordinator, but they say the student-led. He writes in Education Week about this, that there has never been a clearer sign that our schools must do better on climate change. He then goes on, I did not have the time and the support to give young people the tools that will help them deal with the issue that will affect them the most, he says. So climate change is being put as the top issue for these people. And what's interesting about this in my mind is they say it's student led, but yet you find these quote coaches or these trainers or these, I would say, facilitators, indoctrinators, consensus builders. Those are the words that I would use. But these people, every one of these young quote leaders that's put on the front has a mentor, a backer, a facilitator, a trainer, an agitator behind them. And if it's not individually, it might be individual for the biggest leaders, but it's happening across the country, folks. Let's have Tom DeWeese respond in seconds. AmericanPolicy.org. We got a lot to cover on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Democrats launching a formal impeachment inquiry against President Trump, accusing him of pressuring a foreign government, Ukraine, to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. Democratic U.S. Senator and White House hopeful Cory Booker.
The President of the United States withholds that aid in order to go after a political opponent. I think that was a bridge too far for people.
The President denies there was any connection between aid to Ukraine and anything that was discussed about the Bidens in the July phone call, which generated a whistleblower complaint. The President says an unredacted transcript of the call will prove that when it's released later today. To the White House race, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is now slightly ahead of former VP Joe Biden in the latest national poll from Quinnipiac University. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn, the capitalist evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
There's a major anti-gun violence rally set for this afternoon in Washington, D.C., the same day as a congressional panel is having a hearing on assault weapons. Rally organizers expected to talk about recent mass shootings. Many anti-gun groups from around the nation are going to be there, including Sandy Hook Promise. They're cleaning up in the town of Wheaton, Wisconsin. The sheriff in Chippewa County says a tornado touched down there in that small town near Eau Claire. There are no reports of serious injuries, but the sheriff says there is a lot of damage. Two of three Republicans challenging President Trump for the GOP presidential nomination debating in New York City yesterday. One of them, former Illinois congressman and radio host Joe Walsh.
Trump has actually increased the debt faster than Barack Obama did. Think about that.
The other candidate at the debate, Bill Weld, says President Trump should be impeached and soon. Mark Sanford, a third candidate, was not part of the debate. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
So I'm telling you, we used to dismiss this stuff and laugh at it because we thought it's so psychotic no one would ever take it seriously. Now the climate change agenda is center stage. And I'm telling you right now, you're getting people all across the country quitting their professions as educators and moving into this, quote, I don't know what you call it, tutoring role for climate change activism, sir.
You know, he says he didn't have time to do this in a classroom. I can't imagine that because he's got all day long with the whole class, and this is all they talk about anyway. So, you know, what's he mean he didn't have time to do it? But
He didn't have enough time to focus on that exclusively. He had to focus on all the things that people expect school to be about, enough to surround his propaganda, not to be detected and thrown out as a charlatan. So he needs to jettison that, get a lot more money, and then agitate for this 24/7, sir.
Yeah, well, my point was that that's what they do in class 24/7, but, you know, but yeah, you're right. They have to hide it and everything. But,
and they can't be exclusively on this topic. They got to educate for perverted sex and everything else, too, and it's a distraction to the poor guy, right?
Yeah. But it's amazing, Sam, as you watch this come together, as we started fighting these things back in the 80s and 90s, and you had these diverse movements. You had the animal rights movement. You had the environmental movement. There was a movement back then for reparations. You know, all these things, they have all merged come together here. And, you know, little Greta said, I'm a vegan. I don't eat animal products. I don't use any animal products because of ethical, environmental, and climate reasons. And so that brings it all together there. And, you know, that's exactly where it's happening. Here's the interesting thing.
You know what we need to do, though? We need to get some private investigators to follow her around and watch her snarfing down a burger. Because I'm telling you, the idea that she's a complete vegan, which means, you know, she doesn't even wear leather shoes or any of that kind of stuff, right?
Right, exactly.
All right, so, you know, I bet you that it's not a genuine reality. We find out most of these people are propagandists. For example, clogging the streets in D.C., stopping traffic, dancing in the streets, doing all that they're doing. They're literally causing people who could get to work to just sit there and just spew toxins into the air. I mean, if we want to talk about genuine attitudes, this just shows their hypocrisy. How did most of these people get there?
It's also their ignorance. I mean, I have said it for all these years. None of this is about the environment, about environmental protection. It is all the excuse that they have said it over and over again. They've said we've got to stick with this issue, whether it's right or wrong. We've got scientists, thousands and thousands of scientists, who are saying that there is no such thing as man-made climate change. The climate does change naturally, has been doing that for a long time, and is going to continue to do that, but it's not about that. So, you know, they use the environment on this. Why is that? Why do they focus on the environment all the time? The reason is they use the excuse of environmental protection to enforce their whole agenda for control, because the environment doesn't respect political boundaries. Rivers run through several states, animal habitats and bioregions run through multiple regions and in their counties, and so this becomes very useful for their political boundaries of our nation. This whole thing of taking away our national sovereignty, which allows the mass immigration, the rush of illegal immigrants coming in. Well, that's the natural migration of people, you understand, and all these kind of things. That makes it so much easier for them to put all kinds of rules and regulations in to absolutely destroy our society, destroy our rights, and all the protection of the environment, because they can always use the excuse, it doesn't matter how many rights you think you have if you don't have a planet to stand on. This is the basis of all of this. It is all about creating a global governance, a control over all of us, and because we won't voluntarily give up our liberties for that, we will do it to protect the environment out of fear. Now you have a generation of children who are terrified because they have been pounded with this fear, and now they're coming out. All their plans are culminating because they've had a couple of decades to indoctrinate the children this way, and we have a whole generation that doesn't know any better. But the reason that they use the environment is because it doesn't respect political boundaries, and that allows them to go in and absolutely destroy anything in their way to put their program in place.
All right, so they got a carbon tax bill up at Congress, and critics are labeling the House climate bill as population control through taxation, Tom.
Now, the population control is a major part of this, because none of their plans make any sense at all unless you have reduced the population down to absolutely nothing. We're talking about the minimum of 6 billion people who've got to go in order to make this stuff work. I've seen numbers like we could only have 250 million people in the world to make it all work. Well, of course, that would be who? The people who are politically correct, environmentally correct to survive all this. But the rest of us have to go. And, and carbon taxes, and so that is just another way to burden the free market system and push their agenda on us without any proof, without any kind of scientific evidence whatsoever to do that. But it's just another way to bleed us dry.
Now, how do you think they're going to move with that population control push? I mean, there's what, 8 trillion or 8 billion people on the planet right now?
Between 7 and 8, yeah.
All right. So, and how are they going to go ahead before it peaks and hits 8 or whatever? How are they going to go ahead and reduce it down to, what do they want, a billion people?
Yeah, well, first of all...
Well, wait, what's the number they want? 5 billion?
Well, a billion people is what the UN has kind of settled on, that's what we need.
All right, so we need to reduce the population by what, 7/8?
Exactly, yeah. Well, first of all, when you have children like we have today saying, I'm not going to have any children because of global warming, then that's one way. You have these mass abortions taking place. You have control over our food supply, which eventually will lead to starvation, as you know we saw in any communist country that's ever been pulled together. I dare say that when we now are confusing our young people into even what gender they are, that will have a major impact on the on population growth. All of these things come together, lead to the same thing: reduced population.
Now, Nikki Haley speaks out about this, and she speaks out on Nancy Pelosi's call to protect God's creation from climate change. Nikki says, well, what about the babies? The unborn babies. What about those guys?
Yep, we've had, you know, billions or millions and millions of them aborted just in this country. Now we have a let's see, what is he? He's a professor in was it Sweden or is a scientist there who has come out and said that we need to, in order to protect the climate, start eating human flesh. So this is where we lead to all this. It's, every crazy thing from our past, everything that when we were, human society was completely, untamed, it's an unsettled, uncivilized, all these things are coming back. And eventually where all this leads, we're not allowed to have any kind of housing because that hurts the environment. We're not allowed to have any industry, anything else. Those who are left are back to living in caves. And, I know this all sounds radical and everything, but I'm not the one saying this. They are.
Well, so here's my question. I don't know what they would really want us to do. But even if you were to do it, you'd be in trouble with all the regulations we have on the books. Let's say that I decide to just disconnect my electricity and live in my neighborhood right now with no electricity. Just for instance, I say, you know what? The electrical grid is causing harm to the environment. I want to unplug from it all. Do you realize that I have the Department of Family Services at my house saying I'm putting my children in jeopardy right now?
Yes, and there have been cases of people who have gone out into more wilderness areas and tried to live off the grid on their own property who have been arrested for doing that. So, yeah, absolutely.
All right, what if I said I don't want running water anymore to my house? You know?
Yeah.
Are they just going to let me disconnect from the water and not pay the city water bill? Hey, I don't have a water bill at zero. They're going to say, wait a minute, your property in this subdivision or this house, you got to pay, so I'm going to have a build for my water bill, but I'm not going to use any water?
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not realistic. I'm trying to highlight the reality in which we face, right?
Exactly, yeah. The pipes, the infrastructure has already been provided to you, and you need to pay for it. And, of course, even if you pay off your mortgage, it's still not yours if you fail to pay your property taxes on it. So they can still take it away from you there. So, private property, individual choice, free enterprise, none of these things are allowed today, and everything's in a movement to eliminate them.
Now, how could I conduct an experiment if I wanted to live like and behave like they're saying? I'd get rid of my car and buy a bike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would what? Get rid of my electricity and my water?
You could put up your
windmill,
solar towers, and so forth. Yeah,
but solar towers, if you really study how the solar panels are made and everything else, they're a massive environmental hit, if you will, just to create them. All right, well, what about I'd eat vegan? So, food would be pretty simple. Wait a minute, I got to grow all that. Where am I going to do that? Don't I need water? How would this work, Tom? Let's talk about it. And then a couple of highlight stories that relate to diet and the environment and taxes.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
So if I wanted to conduct an experiment to live as these environmentalists are suggesting that I should, we've got to have change. The youth are yelling at the adults, just literally screaming, frothing at the mouth, yelling at the adults, saying how irresponsible and how we've created this crisis that's put them in flat-out terroristic fear. And so if I were to be a responsible adult, conduct an experiment to say, hey, how would y'all like us to live? Number one, could I get it done, Tom? And two, what would it look like? Any idea?
To get completely off the grid?
Well, I don't know about off the grid. Just to do what these people want me to do, to be a responsible adult, that I'm taking them seriously, that this crisis matters. That what if I were just to take them seriously completely, which I don't because I think they're off their rockers. But I'd have to be a hardcore vegan, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now I got to grow a ton of vegetables because that's all I can really eat, right? I mean, I can't do cheese or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't do meat. All I can do is grain, or you know, grains and vegetables, right?
Yeah. And you've got to keep your home cool in the winter. You got to be cold in the wintertime and hot in the summertime, and you know, keep the temperatures down. That would be.
But hold on, how am I going to do that? Just not have anything to cool or heat.
Yeah, you just with the smart meters that have been put on, and they control the temperature. They're telling you that your house shouldn't be more than 60 degrees in the wintertime, and in the summertime, then you shouldn't have air conditioning. And after all, our ancestors lived without it, so shouldn't have it.
Okay, then what would I do? I mean, how would I grow all these vegetables and everything? You get all the water, and how am I going to do all those things? How am I going to work? And do I got to get rid of the internet? What do I got to do?
Get rid of the internet, get rid of big screen TVs and all that sort of thing.
So what I think we should do is we should write like a white paper on what we would need to do to comply with these people and to make them completely happy. What would I need to do, and what would my life look like?
Yeah, well, look here. Just take this from the UN's biodiversity assessment. The things that they say are not sustainable. This includes ski runs, grazing of livestock, disturbance of the soil surface, which means farming, chemical fertilizers, herbicides, sewers, drain systems, pipelines, golf courses, scuba diving, on and on, railroads, floor and wall tiles. All of these things are things that they say are not sustainable, so we can't do that. Of course, dams, reservoirs.
But hold on. If I got to live in a high-rise, there's no ground, how am I going to grow my own food? I can't truck it in. I can't go get it from elsewhere.
Well, you would have a balcony where you could grow it. That's one of the things they're doing in some of the European
countries. But in the winter, what would I eat? I wouldn't be able to, store sausage. In fact, I don't know if you know, but in Germany, they're going to tax sausages to fight climate change, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know that I can't be eating any sausages anyway.
Yeah, yeah. See, that this is the thing that what we run into with these people. They have absolutely no understanding of all these things and how they operate, and yet they want to rule and regulate it. And I was reminded the other day of a story that Mao Zedong got irritated with sparrows because they were he thought they were eating the grain products and so forth for their grain, and so he told everybody, kill all the sparrows. They wipe out all the sparrows there, and lo and behold, they ended up having a famine because all of the insects started to take over that the sparrows used to eat. This is what happens when idiots who don't know anything about the environment decide they're going to control the economy, and then, you know, this is the result of it, and that's exactly what we're going to see happen. We're going to see famine. We're going to see starvation. We're going to see people dying because they can't get warm in the winter. On and on and on. This is what happens.
And the UN report, it's a climate report for the United Nations, calls for change to the human diet. If they go ahead and tax sausage, then the World Resources Institute go vegetarian to combat climate change. But I look at that and I say there's not enough nutrients if you don't have any meat or any cheese or any of those balanced diets they've been teaching us for years, right?
Yeah. Well, right now, today, the National Cattlemen's Association in this country is literally under the control of the World Wildlife Fund. They've created the Global Sustainable Beef Roundtable, and they are controlling how beef is grown. They have taken the nation of origin labeling off of American beef, so you can't tell where it's coming from. And they are putting thousands of cattlemen out of business because of this. But the World Wildlife Fund, one of the most radical environmental groups in the world, one of the most powerful ones, has said in order to save the planet, we've got to stop beef consumption. And yet the National Cattlemen's Association have pulled them in like the Trojan horse to try to work with them. This is one of the things that's going on in this country right now.
Now, it gets worse because they've got these companies now that have like what's called the Impossible Burger and these different plant-based or whatever you want to say, petri dish-based meat substitutes or whatever you want to call them are coming out. You literally have these big chains now peddling these. Red Robin, several of these companies are doing this, and pretty soon there won't be labels. You won't know when it's meat and when it's not either.
Exactly. Yeah. This is all part of it. This is how they do it. They bring out these ideas and then they come up with some kind of a product like that and start pushing it. And they're destroying whole industries doing that. They're taking away your freedom of choice, and using guilt, of course, as well to get you to voluntarily give up these things. But Burger King is the main one doing this now, and they all are supporting this Global Sustainable Beef Roundtable. McDonald's, Burger King, these others, Round Robin you mentioned, other ones, and here they are coming out with fake beef in doing that. What it really is about, there's two things. One, they've all been under siege by the animal rights movement for years, and they're trying to find a way around that. And the other thing is that this is cheaper, so they make more money that way. So there goes your choice.
What do you think we do about this? We've fought it forever, and we started to make some gains probably in the last 5 or 7 years. You and I have talked many times about how we feel like we've really started to turn the corner in terms of education for people to get that this is propaganda, that there is a hidden agenda, that there is quote, international standards forcing this down our throats when we believe that it's individualistic and kind of a plan that we made up, but it's really just a consensus building exercise to sell us down this quote environmental 2021 or 2030 agenda. Now, though, they've taken off the gloves and they say, we don't even care what you call it, what we call it. The fact is, we're going to force this down your throat and we're going to use the little children to get it done. I don't know that we can combat this because I don't believe we have enough media to really educate the population. Without education, I believe the population will be suckers for it, Tom.
Well, there is the danger because we have so many people who have come through in recent years in the education system that started out without knowing the foundation, the basics. But here's what I'm seeing as I'm traveling across the country, as I'm talking with people, that you know, with Ocasio-Cortez coming up with a Green New Deal and all that, this is why I've never been so busy. I am getting more calls. I sat last week, I was in Spokane, Washington. I sat down with two elected officials there who get it, who were working on I gave them all kinds of information of things they can do. They grabbed it up. I'm finding that in more and more places. What they have done is taken it so far down the road that people now, there are many, many more victims, and more people are beginning to see this is crazy. And I think they've overstepped. I really do. And it's going to take a while to...
So the hope right now is that they built the bridge too far to where people realize the hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. People see the dishonesty so open, and people see the repercussions to the point where, hey, people are starting to stand up in droves and say, this has got to stop.
That's what I'm seeing. I mean, it's baby steps at the moment. People are kind of in shock by it. But more and more, I mean, we're seeing more minorities come over, abandoning the Democrats as they're pushing this. And as I said, more victims work in our favor as this stuff happens. But we are in a race against time. We've got to stop this.
Do you think Donald will get impeached, or do you think he'll have a landslide in 2020? The Democrats are really biting off more than they can chew here, and it might be the slam dunk, and it might be an absolute meltdown of them for decades to come. Time will tell.
Yeah, I agree with that. The greatest fear I have about the election, two things. One is the problem with election fraud. And, you know, they've proven to be real experts at that, and they're not letting this go. The other thing is the Republican Party itself just continuing to run campaigns that they've got all this juicy stuff that they can take off with, and instead they run these campaigns with no issues in them, trying not to offend anybody, and they're just worthless in that. And those are the two things I worry about. Otherwise, I think we would just run right over them and destroy them.
Well, no matter who's president, we pray that we can have some common sense on this environmental issue. God put us on the earth. We should be good stewards of it. There are some environmental realities that we need to be careful about. We need to care for the earth, but these people aren't about truly caring for the earth. They could care less. It is about control, Tom.
Absolutely, control. That's it. I mean, the environment, this whole thing about climate change, everything is an absolute lie. It is just the excuse to get us to voluntarily give up our liberties, which we wouldn't do if they said, well, we're going to implement communism. Oh, okay, here, I'll give you that. No, we're not going to do that. But as I said earlier, the excuse they use, it doesn't matter how many rights you think you have if you don't have a planet to stand on. The threat of environmental Armageddon is the threat they have used, and that's why they won't walk away from it, no matter how many times it's disputed and shown that it isn't true. It doesn't matter, because this is what's working for them.
I started out the discussion this hour talking about the homeless. If they have their way, we're all going to be close to homeless, Tom.
Well, it is, and we're getting, you know, talking about these housing crises, as I mentioned before, those urban growth boundaries and so forth, where you have less and less land for us to use for that purpose, and now, look at Los Angeles and San Francisco and Baltimore and so forth, the massive homeless tent cities that are popping up and everything, that is all because of bad government, not for any other reason. And this is where all the communities will end up in, is you're destroying single-family homes, you're destroying the ability to go out and buy some land, as you mentioned earlier, and build your little place on and so forth. You can't do that, you know, as we move forward with this stuff. And all you can do is move into these high-rises. Well, the high-rises can only go so high before you're out in the stratosphere. And so they're going to make those smaller apartments smaller. And here's the bottom line to that. They are now after they've attacked single-family homes, they're now attacking landlords, private landlords, putting rent controls and that sort of thing on as they raise up their costs with taxes and everything. Eventually, the only housing we have will be government housing.
That's and what they'll do is these high-rise buildings, they won't allow elevators, right?
Well, the power, you're going to have to shut the power off at night to preserve it. Yeah.
So imagine living in a high-rise with no elevator. You're going to have to do the stairs. It's good for your exercise there, people. All I'm telling you is they've gone off the rails crazy. Hopefully they've built a bridge too far. Americans will wake up and see it before it's too late. But they're going after it in every way possible. coaches to help people with activism, propaganda, funding, legislatively. They're at it on every avenue, and you and I better get a wind of it, better get a handle on it, and better stand against it yesterday. If you want to learn more about what Tom DeWeese is doing, AmericanPolicy.org, join the Sledgehammer Alert, see the videos, get involved, bring them to your town today. Thank you, Tom.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We declare, ladies and gentlemen, this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.